Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Rivulus Irrigation Training Series. I'm your host, Richard Restuccia, and today we're in the middle of Smart Irrigation Month. It's July 19th. It's one of the hottest summers on record all over the world. And if you're like me and Mike Palumbo, my guest today, you're fighting to keep your landscapes not just looking good, but in many cases, just alive. And that presents a challenge for a lot of people right now. Fortunately, we've got Mike here today helping us understand how you can use Jane Unity and your smart controllers to better manage through the stress of that your plants are experiencing with a smart controller. Now, for those of you who don't know Mike, let me tell you, Mike's been in this industry. He grew up in this industry. His father, Dave Palumbo, actually trained me when I first got in the industry. So Mike has a wealth of knowledge. He's been working in technology for almost his entire career in irrigation. And you know, that you don't find very many people that have 10 plus years experience in irrigation technology in the landscape area. So the other thing that I find about Mike that he does so well, well, really two more things. One, he's got a great knowledge of the technology and software, but more importantly, he can impart that knowledge to people, which you're going to experience in just a few minutes, in a very simple to understand manner. It's a really unique talent that he possesses. And then the other thing is, you know, Mike really is great at keeping his customers happy, right? Whenever you're dealing with technology and weather and droughts and heat, customers, you know, have issues. He's really great at making sure his customers are taken care of. So Mike, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time in the middle of your busy summer of water management to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Look forward to hopefully sharing some knowledge here for our current users and how to better some best practices for them. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, so Mike, this is your first summer in the Phoenix, Arizona area, you know, the greater Phoenix area. Prior to this, you've been in California. Yeah. I'm thinking this is probably the highest heat you've seen for any long period of time. How does this affect the landscapes that you're seeing? I mean, how fast do people have to react before they have a problem?
Yeah, it's days. It's 1 day, 2 days, especially out here. It's even maybe shorter than that. You know, we're going on about maybe 20 days straight of 110 degree weather in Arizona. So time is of the essence when it comes to irrigation management and, you know, being able to check stuff and stay on top of things. So it's a little bit different in Southern California. You have a little bit more leeway, but we still went through a heat wave there the last couple of weeks. So it's pretty important to stay on top of our issues out there.
Yeah, certainly it is. It's happening all over the U.S. right now. And so we really appreciate some ideas of how to stay on top of our landscape, make sure we don't have any damage. So, yeah. Gosh, I'm looking at this first photo. The turf and shrub are certainly taking a beating there. And this is a typical, it's not a typical necessarily landscape, but you do see these types of landscapes in Arizona, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the common areas have the turf and shrubs. So yeah, we see quite a bit of this around the area. So you drive by anywhere, if a lot of these guys aren't using smart controllers, you'll see a lot of the turf looking like that. So it's very important to be able to adjust with ET and, you know, with the heat comes and be able to increase our run times.
Yeah. So, well, we're all excited to see what you have for us today, Mike.
Yeah, look forward. We'll get started here. Just the photo on the left-hand side, that's a true ET values of my home here, 0.37 of inches of ET today, next couple of days. So it's pretty extreme out here. So in Arizona, so when you're trying to refill the plant material and kind of put that back, it's a big number there, big number to crack. So, but you know, we'll kind of get started.
So Mike, for those of us that don't know, can we go back to that chart? Because I'm looking at these 0.37s, 0.36. That's inches of ET, correct? Of daily ET?
Yes. Yep.
And so we're really, I mean, I'm not that good at math, but ballpark in my head, we're close to 3 inches of water needed this week for a landscape in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's pretty darn close. Yeah.
Wow, that's yeah. a lot of water somebody has to put on.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of water, a lot of run times, a little bit bigger water window. So if they're not prepared, they definitely need to get with it.
Yeah.
Just kind of for proactive water management, just some basic ideas, guys. We want to make sure our stations are on full auto. As you know, we have a couple different options for schedule adjustments, you know, user defined, fixed, and full auto. We really recommend doing the full auto. That way you get the benefit of your ET data that we provide. So if you guys do get a chance, check your schedules. I know Fix is easy to use and you're used to it, but you know, it really, really benefits the landscape, benefits everybody being able to use a full auto mode, especially with the Gen Unity system. Second item, guys, to check is for us is trust the scientific weather data that Unity provides. There's a misconception that the subscription costs is, for the cell phone carriers that we're paying them the $20 a month or the $239 a year. That subscription cost it covers the scientific weather data that we provide. And we do it pretty good. An Arizona study said that if you track hourly ET, that is the most accurate possible ET values that you can provide when it comes to the certain areas. And with JUnity, that's exactly what we do. We track hourly ET, put that with our schedules. And when you have current or accurate ET and accurate plant profile, that gives us the optimal irrigation for plant health. And a lot of smart controllers are, you know, we're saying water savings, but a lot of the times we want to have plant health. And I think that's a big thing that we got to start talking about a bit more is what's our optimal water for plant health and not so much exactly. Water savings should be a byproduct of that, but keeping our plants healthy, it should be our number one priority.
Mike, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I have two additional comments to add to that. And the first one is the ET data every hour. It's quite amazing because I know that JUnity uses 17 factors of the weather, right? It's not that we're just taking a temperature reading every hour. It's 17 factors of the weather, including humidity, sun intensity, temperatures, wind direction. So that's amazing that they can do all those calculations on an hourly basis times all the customers. So that is something I believe only JUnity does. And then what you also said about the plant health, I had so many people, so many branch managers when I was at Valleycrest many years ago that would say, gee, we're going to save water, but our landscapes are going to look terrible. We're going to get fired. And then quickly they saw that if you were applying the right amount of water, you had really healthy plants. This is how the bigger of the plants, this is how they look best. So I really appreciate you mentioning those two things.
Yeah. You train those roots to the certain depth that you need it to, they'll be able to take a little bit less water down the road. So definitely crucial to put the right amount down.
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody, too, that we have the Q&A in the chat open. So if you've got some questions for Mike, please put them in there and we'll address them when appropriate.
So those are the first two. Three and four, guys, is make sure that your water window is open up for the demand. We get this quite a bit where they're seeing some stations not watering what they need to be watering on the days of the week. Come to find out, it's their water window so short. So make sure you have enough water window for your demand. And then I also recommend switching from a full block days. We have the block days, switching to a daily water window and using that as your block day if you need to remove any, to keep something dry for a mow day. So switch to daily water window and then also open it up and make sure you have enough water window for the demand of your site.
So Mike, we've got our first question coming in about that. And this person's asking, so is this something I do just in the summer or should I do this, year round?
I would do it year round. Obviously, summertime is going to be the most demand for water. We're going to be watering more often in longer run times. But I would change water windows, even during the wintertime. This kind of gives you some more flexibility than having just one water window, you know, for all every day of the week. If you have different events or you have different stuff going on at certain times, you can adjust these water windows so that you can work around any type of events you have, you know, for your client, for your HOA. So, you know, it just gives you more flexibility out in the field.
Yeah. So if I understand you correctly, it means you'll always have water instead of a block day where you would have no water. And if it happened to go below a trigger level, it'd have to catch up.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, great. Thank you.
Number four, guys, and this is our main focus for today is going to be dynamic programming. Change stations from standard to dynamic programming. This will proactively irrigate before trigger level and refill the water bucket. And this is going to take into account any upcoming block days and forecasted weather. So this is kind of our main focus today is getting people to understand this way of how GeneUnity programs a controller compared to the old way of ET Water Manager. So we'll kind of go in some samples next and kind of see these and kind of what the old way was and then what this new way dynamic programming is moving forward. So we'll go through some samples after this.
Great. So Mike, we have another question coming in, and that is, are you going to show us how to change from standard to dynamic?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we'll go through these. I think in two or three more slides, I'll show you exactly where to go and to make these changes. And then, but it would be good. These next few slides will give you a good understanding of the way we did things in the past, the way it is now, and the way that we can change the flexibility that we have. So as we mentioned before, guys, standard programming, which was on the ET Water Manager program, and then we did move it over to GeneUnity. So if you see your stations and it doesn't say dynamic on there, you'll be running standard programming. That's going to be all runtimes for the week. We'll have the same irrigation runtimes, same as before. We'll irrigate once moisture balance falls below the trigger level. So it's got to go below the trigger before it's going to irrigate again. And it's going to replenish the difference from the water bucket to trigger level. So I got a little thing there. We'll go through the slide there. So keep that in mind. The difference between the water bucket and trigger level will only irrigate any one irrigation event that amounts.
Yeah, so that seems about perfect how it should run, right?
Yeah. As far as for the most part, you know, it does. It's good. It does. The old programming was good. I always heard out here in Arizona, it's not good. Doesn't keep up with the heat. Doesn't keep up with the heat. So I think the dynamic programming will help kind of, you know, put that to bed and be able to keep up out here a little bit more.
Yeah. But, okay, great. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Standard programming, guys. You'll look at your programming here. You don't see dynamic here. So you'll notice this is going to be standard programming. You'll notice all the days, all the runtimes are going to be the same throughout the whole week. This won't change for this week. Next week, you might see something different, but all these runtimes would be the same here. So two things to check here would be your program, and the days of the week will tell you what type of program you're running, if it's standard, dynamic, or not. So screenshot of an example there. Here's an example, guys, of kind of hitting the trigger level. So our current water window was 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. So you'll see here at the 7 a.m., we haven't hit the trigger level yet. So we're going to go here, and then we're going to irrigate right about 9 o'clock once it's time. And if you notice where it says water bucket 0.85, trigger level 0.637. So keep that in mind. That's a 0.20, roughly 0.20 for basic math. And if you can remember on the main screen, the ET loss for today was 0.37 alone. So we're only able to put down on the standard irrigation, we're only able to put down that difference between the water bucket and trigger level at any one irrigation events. That's why this blue bar here, guys, is not going all the way to the top. It's just going here. It's just going that amount, because that's the difference between here and the irrigation.
Interesting. And so the reason, Mike, if I'm understanding this correctly, that it didn't water at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock is because that was out of the water window.
That's correct. Yes, it has to be within that water window for there. That's why it will fall below and keep on going until its next available opportunity within the water window.
Yeah. Okay. So then we're hitting it with 115 degree heat till 8 o'clock at night. So yeah, it's going to really deplete.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll see a couple of slides here too. You'll really see depletions if you don't stay on top of it, especially with block days as well.
Right. So, okay. So we're looking at hourly data of one day, not a week's worth. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. This is hourly data. This is Friday here. For this example, Friday, we have two block days, Saturday and Sunday, for this particular station. So you'll see where we are on Friday here. This is 11 p.m. Then Saturday, Sunday is blocked. So you'll see we're going to get down to here, our trigger lower, our moisture balance on, by the time Monday rolls around, our next available time to water will be here. And even being able to put that amount back, the 0.20, we're still not putting enough back to keep our, our turf looking the way it should be. So standard is good, but when you get in the heat here and you have some bigger, higher ET values, it's really hard to keep up here. So it's, you'll see here, it's going to go through the rest of the week here and then irrigate again later on that night within the next water window.
So Mike, I got to ask this. I always thought ET was a measurement looking backwards. How do you know what the ET is going to be on Friday and Monday of next week?
Yeah, that's the Jane Unity Forecasted Weather, Predictive Analytics, we call it. So that's what's new within our system. Not only do there's other manufacturers, I think, that can look at forecasted weather, but none of them can incorporate that within the irrigation schedules. That's the difference between us and everybody else, is that we look at forecasted weather, but we also incorporate it within our irrigation schedules if you have the right programming set up in the system.
Yeah, that's amazing, because if you look at these charts, you can see it would really make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, being able to go forward and look ahead is a huge difference. So now, guys, so that's standard programming. Now, dynamic programming is done in two ways. Irrigation runtimes will vary from day to day. That's different from standard irrigate ET water. And then this will still irrigate once it falls below the trigger level. Keep that in mind as well. However, this will replenish the entire root zone based on the plant profile. So this will fill up your root zone. It's not limited to your moisture or to your water bucket, to your trigger level. This will fill up the whole root zone over time.
So Mike, we've got another question coming in, and somebody's asking, are these charts generated from an on-site weather station?
No, we don't have any on-site weather stations. We use a cluster of weather stations throughout the whatever area you're in. Each controller is going to have its own kind of virtual weather station with your longitude, latitude. And we are using similar weather data to, NASA, the news stations, with Doppler radar, satellite imaging. So we're able to take all that configuration with the 17 points of data that we calculate. And being that we're a cloud-based system, we're able to kind of program that. So it should get you within about a half a mile of your controller as far as the accurate weather data there.
Yeah, it's really interesting today too, Mike. I'm always amazed at how you can read these weather reports and it says it's going to rain at 2 this afternoon. It's going to rain for 20 minutes and it's going to be accurate. Satellite imaging and Doppler radar combined have made this forecasting and tracking of weather better than I've ever seen it. The technology is just amazing. And when I compare that to maybe a $30 or $40 weather station that I have in my yard, and there's no way I can keep up with the accuracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's real-time ET data. And, if somebody's done a test before, it's pretty accurate to what they had a weather station in their backyard. So we're very confident with our weather data that it's very accurate. So dynamic programming, guys, you'll see here on the program, you're going to see dynamic, and it's going to say maximum irrigation 100%. So that's the first standard of dynamic programming. You're going to have your different days of the week or different water times. So you'll know that is dynamic as well. So that's kind of a tale of that. Again, we have block days, Saturday and Sunday. And you'll see here, 7 a.m. is our end of our watering window. We haven't hit the trigger level yet. So we'll irrigate again once we get to 9 p.m. But you'll see on this particular dynamic program, it's going to put more water down to refill the full root zone. It's not going to be limited like it was in standard programming. So when we call dynamic programming, this is going to allow you to be able to put down more water on any one irrigation event, try to keep up with the heat, kind of refill that root zone for the next day.
Yeah. And this is what's going to make a difference in your plant health.
Yeah. When you go in deficit, it's rough to kind of get caught up. You know, so if you go in deficit too long and you just sit there in deficit, you know, you're going to be stressing out quite a bit. But even though we're going below the trigger level here, it's only for a couple hours. And then we're going to fill up that root zone with the amount of water that's required. So it's going to help us kind of replenish that, similar to our bodies in the heat. You know, if you go in deficit without drinking water, you're going to feel sluggish, not as, you know, not as active. Same thing with plants. If you have to be able to fill that up and get, you know, be running on full and not so much on empty when it comes to water.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah, thank you.
Yep. So this is dynamic programming, guys, but I put proactive there. So proactive irrigation run times will still vary from day to day, just like the other dynamic. However, this will irrigate prior to moisture balance falling below the trigger level. And when we come to block days, this is going to be very important for us to be proactive approach. It will still replenish the root entire root zone based on plant profile as well. So it's going to fill it up just like the other dynamic programming. So the big difference is going to be the middle one here. Excuse me. It's going to irrigate before the trigger level. So you'll see here, guys, dynamic program. Irrigation is going to be 1 minute, the minimal, and then 100%. That's going to get us to our dynamic that we're going to be proactive amounts. You'll see the different run times here. This is just based off what the root zone is and how far it's depleted. So all that could change on a daily basis. Block day, Saturday and Sunday again. So you'll see kind of how this works on this new one. So you'll see at 5 a.m., we got an irrigation event here, guys. Going to fill it up. You'll see that this is Friday, the 21st. On the 21st, it knows, our system automatically knows on Saturday and Sunday, we have two block days coming up. Even though we haven't hit the trigger level yet, our system's going to say, hey, we need to irrigate now so we don't go in a deficit over the weekend. And this is crucial here. So just keep in mind here, this blue bar kind of filling up all the way to the water bucket here. It's going to get us through the weekend pretty darn good. Otherwise, guys, we'll probably be down way down here by the time Monday rolls around. This will be here and our stuff will be stressed out. So we'll irrigate here, our normal one, and then we're going to be looking forward ahead for block days. Knowing that's coming, we're going to irrigate there. And then this is what it's going to look like on Monday. We barely get below that trigger level on Monday. Otherwise, we would have been probably about down here, stressed out plants over the weekend, two block days. Two block days may be extreme, but we do have customers who don't want any water over the weekend. So it is something that we really see out here quite a bit, but now we have a way to kind of combat that and be proactive with that approach. So then we fill it up barely below the trigger level, and then we'll fill it up for the, you know, at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., depending on your plant profile. So dynamic schedule and being proactive is a good way in the summertime, especially when you have block days, that you're going to be able to put irrigation down without going in deficit over the weekend.
Yeah, what a smart way to do it, Mike. Now, we do have a question coming in, and this person's asking what happens when a water window isn't sufficient for full bucket refill and dynamics.
Yeah, that's where we go again, is we want to increase that water window if possible. If you're able to do that, speak with the board, speak with the property manager, let them know kind of what we're running up against. Hopefully they can take into consideration, but at least you're giving them a heads up kind of what's happening out in the field with the weather. Then they can deal with the homeowners if it's, you know, if the turf's kind of drying up a little bit as well. And then other than that, our stations will take priority. Turf will take priority on stations on depletion levels and irrigate the most important stations first. And that is going to be our turf. And then it's going to go on to plants and shrubs after that.
Yeah. Okay. So it is. So I think what you're saying is it will catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. Over time, yeah, we'll catch up in it, but it's going to do the whatever's needed the most, depletion, and then priorities too. Whatever's the most important, which is going to be turf first, it's going to irrigate those and make sure those. And then hopefully you're able to extend that water window, and then maybe do shrubs in on anytime watering, shrubs and plants, and be able to keep your turf in there, but it will catch up. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So where to make the changes, guys? So you can do it in grouping, but you also can do it on per station level here. So if you click on the station that you want to change, and I kind of recommend doing one or two at a time here, just until you kind of get used to it, see how it reacts for you guys. So when you go to your station, you're going to hit schedule adjustments. Schedule adjustments will take you to this screen. And then you're going to hit all set, my maximum cycle time and minimum soak time. Once you get in there, this was the first dynamic one. So you're going to put 100%. That's going to get you that first dynamic way where you won't irrigate until you go under the trigger level, but it's going to refill your whole root zone. If you want to add where you're going to be proactive, then you put the one for minimum irrigation minutes. And this will be the one where you'll be able to refill the root zone prior to hitting the trigger level. And that's all you need to do. These two sections here, and then everything would be in dynamic mode. And you'll be able to just look on your screen here. It's going to show dynamic. Then you know you have your station dynamic mode. So guys, when that's done and you're in dynamic mode and you're running your schedules, this is a new year-over-year analysis we have. This is a great tool to look at as a water manager. Meet with your property manager, meet with your team, your landscape team, and review this. You'll see this here, guys, is going to go March, for example, this March 2023, and this is March 2022. So you can see it was hotter. We lost a lot more ET on March 2022 than 2023. So you'll be able to kind of here see we had some rain events. This is a good tool. I want to say when it first started, had an HOA came to us and said, hey, we're watering more this year than we did last year. We want your controllers aren't doing the job. If I would have had this, it would have been a lot easier to show them, no, it's hotter this year than it was last year. Therefore, we're irrigating more. We had to do it manually on a spreadsheet to show them, but this is a good tool if you're a landscape contractor, if you're, you know, a property owner, to be able to go and look at this and see, hey, what was the weather like compared to last year? How much ET lost? Did we have any rain or not? And be able to kind of get a better understanding of maybe why your water bills went up or why your water bills went down compared to last year. So it's a good graph to review. And then down below, you'll see, guys, you're going to have your blue bars. Those are going to be your irrigation usage average per station. So obviously, the goal is to kind of have them mimic what's going on up top. As we have hotter weather, our irrigation is going to increase. As we have cooler weather, it's going to reduce. So we wanted those bars to kind of be mimic each other over time.
So Mike, I love this chart. Thank you for sharing it. Kind of pops my bubble. I thought in March of this year, I was a genius water manager, but come to find out ET was just a lot lower. So I think that's important to note that this isn't static, right? It changes based on the weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's key. It's a great tool for water managers to use, like you said, to show your customers, well, yeah, it's hotter this year. ET is much higher this year as a result of whatever the answer is. And then thirdly, why I like this is that if you did have a situation where ET was lower and you're using more water, that's a real red flag. You've got some other issue going on, right?
Yeah, definitely would have some other issue going on. And that's where the next slide is pretty good to start looking at. Kind of a deeper dive into those issues with our over under water report. This report, guys, is kind of based off, you can do multiple ways, your controller, your site, you can break it down per station here where you're going to have over under water report. So you'll see on the screen here where it says ETO and average for this state here, 0.07, here's how much irrigation. This could fluctuate a little bit, you know, certain days of the watering times, but this is a good thing too. You want to see these bars kind of mimic each other. And then, like you said, Richard, if you have one that watered a lot on a certain day, you can really take a deep dive in to see what's going on with those particular stations. You know, yeah. It could be as easy as, you know, establishment schedule was left on instead of taking off. They left it on without knowing it for over a month or so. You know, we see that quite a bit where they don't put an end date in there and they leave it on. And then we have some higher water bills or higher water usage than what the ETO is. So, yeah, it's a good report to kind of keep be able to do a deep dive on stuff as well.
And you're showing it on a daily basis here, but I can do it weekly, monthly. I compare 6 months at a time. So yeah, what a great tool. And again, I start to see a lot of overwatering. I can look per station too and help identify maybe some installation or design issues that I'm having.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, so that's it for today, guys. Just want to kind of hopefully you learned a little something as far as dynamic programming. Highly recommend it. If standard program is great, guys, I would recommend the trigger level lowering that if you want to stay with that. But if you can get to dynamic programming, it's a much better approach to water management out here, especially in the desert, the hot areas, even in SoCal. You know, it's a better approach to irrigation and managing our water our landscape for optimal plant health.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, great job today. This I certainly learned a lot. And that's great when that happens. We did have one last question coming in. And the question is, can we assign priority stations for watering?
Our system does it automatically. We can share with you if you want to send us an email. We can share, but our system automatically does that automatically based off of, I believe it's turf and then plants and shrubs.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Again, Mike, thank you. So Mike, here's your contact information on the screen. If I'm watching, I have a question later, I can email, call. You're okay with that?
Yeah. Email, call, and then we can help you out, kind of get you guys set up, get your stations going. Like I said, I really recommend maybe starting with one or two if you're unfamiliar with it at a time, see how that works for your irrigation, see how your turf looks, and then switching everything over over time.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. The questions keep on coming in. You've definitely engaged our audience, Mike. Someone else is asking about the cost of the system and could I use it on a fruit farm also?
Yeah, you can use it on any type of system. The cost of the system is going to be depending, you know, on the station count and through your distributor. We do have an ongoing subscription of right now it's $239 per year. But like I said, that includes the weather data that we provide, which is pretty darn accurate, and it's needed for out here. Without having correct weather data, it's kind of your guessing, and you can use historical ET, but you know, when you're using real live ET, it's a huge difference. So that ongoing cost is well worth it as well.
Yeah, and I chuckled when you said historical ET because there's nothing like this year, right? Yeah. In the past that you can throw the historic information out the window, I think,
yep,
especially absolutely. Comparing it to something every hour.
But yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then the other thing I say is, you know, these systems pay for themselves in a couple of years, right? In the water savings, and man, for farming, you know, and what you're going to get in yield increases too, I imagine it's going to be a dramatic change.
Yeah. And it's an additional to water savings, electrical savings, labor savings, you know, not having to replace plant material, turf as often, you know, in overseeding and fertilizing, you save a lot more than just the water savings. So yeah, it pays for itself. Definitely.
Yeah. It just keeps going on and on and on. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, well, listen, Mike, again, thanks so much. Please email and call Mike if you've got additional questions. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. We really appreciate it. We know you're busy, especially this time of year. And so the fact that you spent some of your day with us is really great. Remember, you can see all our trainings, over 300 now, at the Janes USA /trainings page or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. You know, we extract the audio out of these, put them into a podcast, and you can listen there. I love when I see the amount of podcast downloads we get every month to think that people are out there working and learning at the same time really is exciting to me. So again, Mike, thanks so much for being here. Thank you, everybody. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye.